We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Back in on The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app. So, Chiefs head coach Andy Reid announced that Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Rob, please turn the music down. Thank you. Chiefs coach Andy Reid announced that Clyde Edwards-Helaire is out for Sunday night against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Nick Wright retweeted and said, make sure he's healthy for the playoffs. Smart. I mean, Nick Wright has just been on an absolute tear, and I absolutely am here for it, and I appreciate it.
This is actually better than a bye. Get some cardio in, knock off some rust, have no chance of losing. He can work on some things and be just rolling when the playoffs actually start for the Chiefs, the same weekend they've always started for the Chiefs under Mahomes, the divisional round.
That was Nick Wright on his show, First Things First. I just didn't feel like putting the Nick Wright request in. Like, it's already hard enough to get him. If I'm going to put in the request, like, I'm going to use the request on just a bigger day. Like, I don't like calling a lot of favors in, but I'm going to wait till they play a team that can maybe beat him before I call in the favor. I ain't going to pick it on this week. I already know what he think. I already know. I can play the cuts for you. Just be us going back and forth making fun of the Steelers for 20 minutes, which I'm sure is great, but I at least want to talk to him for real about when they play the Bills or when they play the Titans. So, you know, I'm saving a little bit. So I would consider Nick to be the unofficial voice of the Chiefs. I love him. He's the unofficial voice of the Chiefs. But we get the official voice of the Chiefs on this show every Monday at 4 o'clock. And there have been two things that Mitch Holthus has said that has completely been ingrained in my mind. The first thing is a stat that I think I knew, but to hear him put it in this context just blew my mind. Here's Mitch Holthus from Monday on the show.
One of my favorite stats is, and I'm going to say it, 30-point line. If an opponent is below 30 points, Mahomes is 49-3. That includes playoffs. If it's an opponent gets over 30 points, the Chiefs with Mahomes are 7-12. Why are the Steelers dangerous? Because you got to look at what makes them potent in this game. And if Mike Tomlin runs on that field, I think that's their biggest asset. I think the only reason they're in this game is Mike Tomlin.
I agree.
He's unreal. That dude's unreal. He could run every corporation in America. All right, two, the fact that they can get the sneaky takeaways, they have to live off of them. And it's not just TJ Watt, who's awesome, really good. But look at it yesterday. Cortland Sutton gets the interception. Not Cortland Sutton, DB Sutton gets the interception for the Steelers. They were able to run the ball enough. They've got a way to get some chunk plays, and they get Pat Freiermuth back for this game. Not having Freiermuth in that first game I thought was a big deal. He had a concussion the week before against the Titans. They'll have him back for this game, and that makes them more potent and to potentially get to a 24-point total, which would mean to be minimum for them to win this game.
That was Mitch Holthus on Monday. There's another cut I want to play for you guys, but let's just react to this one. You guys know how ridiculous 49-3 is? 49-3 if the other team scores less than 30 points. That's an insane statistic. That goes to show you how hard it is to beat Kansas City if you're not going to be special. I'm not saying it's really, really hard to score 30 points in the NFL, but it's kind of really hard to score 30 points in the National Football League. To give you an idea of how hard it is, There were two teams in the league that averaged 30 points a game this season. One was the Cowboys and one were the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and Tampa was barely over 30 points at 30.1. That means if you take what the average is for every team in the NFL, they lose to the Kansas City Chiefs. The average for every team in the league. So you got to play above and beyond your capabilities to beat Kansas City in order to give yourself a chance. 49-3 is an insane statistic. So whenever we talk about this, and I go through at the very beginning of the year, and you know everybody does it. Oh, well, these games are tough. These are games you got to watch out for. You got to ask yourself a simple question. Can they score enough to keep up with Kansas City? Doesn't mean that Kansas City is going to score 40 points in that game or have a high-flying day, but for the most part, they're going to get to 24 to 27. So you're going to need to score more than that in order to beat them. The odds are you're not holding them to 13 points and beating them 17-13. Like, you're going to need to keep things moving offensively and play with a certain tempo, pace, and momentum. I'm happy that we got this, well, you got to run the ball and keep the ball attitude out of here that we were trying to shovel for a year, year and a half. That's not how you beat them. The numbers suggest that. If you want to try to get into let's stand in the middle of the ring and just throw haymakers, fight with Mahomes, his punch is just bigger than yours, and you're going to lose that game for the most part. So I'm looking at this number, and of all the teams in the National Football League, scratch it, all the teams that are in the playoffs, what team do I think is least likely and capable of getting into a shootout with the Kansas City Chiefs? It's the one they're playing on Sunday night. It's them. It's a great stat from Mitch Holtis. That's why he's the voice of the Chiefs. That's why he's the best. 49-3 when the other team scores less than 30 points. Another thing Mitch Holtis said, that Kansas City can lose this game. Pittsburgh can't win it.
But what you're telling me, and I agree, that this game is really about Kansas City.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
So the fact that the Chiefs were had 14 takeaways in the last 10 games is pretty cool, because they can also play the takeaway game, all of the things that we just mentioned, of the any given Sunday deal. They've now proven that with this defense. That's the Nick Bolton play, right? That's how the Steelers would beat the Chiefs, a play like that we saw throughout October and September. And the Chiefs have gotten rid of that. Now, in the playoffs, sometimes all bets are off. Like, the world looks different. Sun comes up in the west in the playoffs. That's what it feels like. And so the regular season patterns sometimes get dim. I've seen that in the playoffs. But with this Kansas City Chiefs team, and this sounds arrogant, I don't want it to be arrogant, but your comment has triggered this thought in the fact that it's really about the Chiefs. If they take care of the ball, they are who they are. They stay confident, crisp routes, concentration. It's a 13-play drive. You're just as sharp on your 13th play as you were on your first. Then, yeah, this is your game.
That's how I feel about this game. In order for Pittsburgh to win this game, they're going to need a minimum of 3 turnovers. If they don't force 3 turnovers, I just don't think they have the ability to do so. Some of you are asking, what are the 3 games in which the Chiefs have lost in which their opponent didn't score our 30 points? So earlier this year, the Titans, they beat them 27-3. The Colts game 2 years ago when the Chiefs were super banged up. You remember that game, the Sinai football game. They lost to Jacoby Brissett. It was 19-13. And then the Week 15 game against the Chargers late in the year, the Phillip Rivers to Mike Williams 2-point conversion game. Those are the only games they've lost that Patrick Mahomes started and finished in this scenario. So I'm not saying it's impossible. Obviously, it's not impossible. The odds are not on your side. You know me. I'm a side with the smart money. I'm siding with the odds. And I just don't think Pittsburgh's a team that can score enough to keep up with them. We could talk about all the other stuff. TJ Watt is a fantastic player. Cam Hayward, first team all defense, first team all pro, just got announced. They got great playmakers on the outside. Deontay Johnson's going to be a very good receiver in this league for years to come. Chase Claypool, great player, dynamite player. They might get Juju Smith-Schuster back. I love Najee Harris coming out of Alabama. There's a lot of things to like about the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think the most their offense can score is 27 points. Or excuse me, 17 points. I think that's the most their offense can score. And if that's the conversation we're having, then you're just not winning this game. Those two things have been stuck in my mind all week talking about this game that Mitch Holtz has said. His stat about the 30 points and that this is the Chiefs beating the Chiefs. You can't play down to Pittsburgh's level and make this the kind of game that they want it to be. Kansas City wants to make this a full court, fast break kind of game. And Pittsburgh wants to, like, 2014 K-State, Frank Martin, half court, slow it down kind of game. Now, Kansas City can win that game with Pittsburgh, but if you're playing that kind of game, it's playing into, I think, the style and tempo that can at least keep this game close and at least keep it interesting. So coming up, we will get back to the Pittsburgh Steelers coming up at the bottom of the hour. We'll be joined by Charlie Batch. He is a former backup quarterback to Ben Roethlisberger, currently does pre- and post-game in Pittsburgh. But on the other side, we'll give you another chance to register for a Travis Kelce helmet. We'll also get you ready for the other wild card games this weekend in the National Football League. That's next. Keep it locked in right here on 610 Sports Radio.
The Drive, weekdays 2 to 6.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Back in on The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app. So there are 5 games this weekend. There is also a Monday night game between the Arizona Cardinals and the Los Angeles Rams. I am a little bit disappointed for this reason. Why did they have to put the Cowboys and 49ers game as the Nickelodeon game? That's the game that I really want to be locked into Cowboys and Niners. I don't want the gimmicks and the extra stuff. You know who should be playing on Nickelodeon? The Bengals. The Bengals should be playing on Nickelodeon. Not the Cowboys and Niners. Now, I'm sure I'll turn over and watch it because I actually enjoyed the Nickelodeon broadcast last year. It was very fun. But don't put the serious good games on there. Put the Eagles on Nickelodeon. Rob, you and I both follow the NBA. They don't put the Lakers on NBA TV for the playoff games. They put the Atlanta Hawks. You can always get a Hawks v. Magic NBA TV playoff tilt. They ain't putting the Lakers and Warriors on there because they know you really want to watch it. So I'm a little disappointed over there for the folks over at CBS and Viacom for making me choose when I really want to watch the Nickelodeon broadcast. I liked seeing the player get slimed when they go in the end zone. It was quite enjoyable to me.
Plus, we get the Nickelodeon MVP, which Twitter just hacks and gives to the worst player in the game, like they did last year with Mitch Trubisky.
Were you a Nickelodeon kid growing up? Were you more of a Disney Channel kid? What kind of children's television person were you growing up, Rob?
I was personally more Nickelodeon. However, my brother was more Disney, so I'm aware of both spheres, but I personally enjoyed the Nickelodeon more.
I'm from the school where, you know, Hey Arnold, Doug, Rugrats, Clarissa Explains It All that. There are a few things in this life I love more than 90s Nickelodeon.
SpongeBob, but I think the age difference showing
here.
Yeah,
SpongeBob's amazing. I was, at that point, it was kind of, I was out of there. Like, they had this show called Cat Dog. I don't know if you remember
Cat Dog guy. Loved Cat Dog.
Cat Dog was the beginning of the end for me. Like, this is one of the dumbest shows. I knew as a kid that this show was dumb. And then SpongeBob, at that point, I'd already started to transition to watching Disney, you know. Then I was like a Lizzie McGuire, That's So Raven, you know, like I could relate a little bit more at that stage in my life, you know. I was kind of out of cartoons at that point.
Little Even Stevens for you, I get
yeah.
that.
Yeah, whatever happened to the girl from Even Stevens, Christy Romano, whatever happened to her, we got to find her. Let's get her on the show this summer.
Do you know who she was? Made another Disney reference. She was Kim Possible.
Oh, yeah, she was. She was definitely your Anna Kendrick before Anna 100%. Kendrick. You love the girl from Even Stevens. That's what we're going to do this summer. We're going to do a Where Are They Now from random 90s child stars and find out what they're doing today. Because I would love to know what the girl from Even Stevens is doing today. I would love to know just how she spends her free time. Have you seen Hillary Duff lately? Smoking.
Now, Hillary Duff, she can still get it.
Absolutely. I don't know if you can say that, but she's still smoking out here. You know what? Let's not get you in any more trouble, and let's take a trip around the NFL.
We start our trip around the NFL here on Super Wild Card Weekend. Carrington, my question to you is, after this slate of games, which underdog is the most likely team to pull the upset victory?
All right, I think the most likely team to pull the upset is San Francisco. That's a 3-point game. It's basically a coin flip. If you want to give me like a true upset, I don't know why Vegas is being disrespected in this game. I think the Vegas game is a little bit more interesting than people are willing to give it credit. I would say at 5.5, that's basically like 7, right? 5.5 in a real life sense is basically you picking them to win by 7 points. I think this game is going to be really close late, and it's going to come down to a couple of decisions on either side to end up winning this game. I think Vegas has a good chance to go in there and get this win. You want to talk about a team that's playing with house money and a team that isn't supposed to be here. It's not the Steelers. It's the Raiders. Tell me who thought the Raiders were making the playoffs in week 11 with everything that was going on with them. They're riding the wave of having an interim head coach. They're really riding the nobody believed in us, everybody gave up on us, look at all the things we've had to overcome, and we're not even the 7th seed in the playoffs. Like, they've had a really impressive season when you factor in everything that's going. They won double-digit games this year, and young quarterbacks making their first start in the playoffs, it's just always dicey. You remember whenever Josh Allen made his first start in the playoffs, how bad he was? I'm not saying Burrow's going to be that bad, because Burrow isn't as erratic as Josh Allen is from time to time, but it's just always the unknown. You don't know how young players are going to respond to playing in the postseason. I think I think San Francisco is probably the right answer, but they're only 3-point dogs. I think the real answer is Vegas, though.
I would also, I know it's the Monday game, but Arizona. I mean, the Rams brought Eric Weddle out of retirement because their secondary is in such dire straits. You don't think Cliff Kingsbury's vertical attack could give them problems? Cardinals are a sneaky pick in here, too. By the way, I forgot to mention earlier, we are going around the NFL, which is brought to you by The Other Place. The Other Place is the home of the one-of-a-kind game day experience. Carrington, as we continue around the NFL, tell me, what is the best game to watch this weekend?
Whatever game's on Nickelodeon is the best game to watch. But no, on a very serious note, it actually is the game on CBS and Nickelodeon. It's San Francisco and Dallas. It's the true coin flip game that's out there. Every other game, I think there's a clear favorite. Like, the favorite might not win. Arizona could win, but I think the Rams are certainly the better out of the two teams. I think the San Francisco-Dallas game is just you wake up and you just decide who you think is going to win that game. I think that's the marquee game this weekend. I'm not surprised that it kind of got that billing. It got the Sunday afternoon, Nance and Romo. It got that kind of treatment. I actually think San Francisco is going to win. We can just all see how this is going to play itself out, right? Like, we all can see what's going to happen. San Francisco wins on a last-second field goal. Stephen A. Smith is laughing on your Twitter timeline. And regardless of what happens in the other wildcard games, the only game they talk about on television is the Cowboys losing. That's it. We all can see that coming from a mile away here. I like the way that San Francisco played toward the end of the season. I think this is a game in which, I hate to say it, I think Deebo Samuel plays really well. I hope he doesn't score, though. I hope he does not get in the end zone. I actually think San Francisco is going to pull the upset off in that one. I'm going to say that's the game of the weekend.
I think you're right. If there's a 1B as far as watchability, Patriots-Bills. Patriots-Bills is going to be really fun. It's going to be two great teams. They've played two good games already this season. That game's going to be cold, football weather. I'm excited for Pats and Bills. We continue going around the NFL. The inverse of a good game is a bad game, Carrington. So you tell me, what is your stone cold lock of the century of the weekend?
My stone cold lock of the century. I'm taking Kansas City in the first half. I love Kansas City in the first half, minus six. We all see how this game's going to start, right? The first drive, Kansas City is going to look masterful. And they settle in a little bit, and the game is kind of played at an okay pace. But Kansas City goes into the halftime up by a touchdown. So if you want to give me my stone cold lock, let me go ahead and channel my inner Charles Barkley. I guarantee Chiefs in the first half.
Eagles losing to the Bucs by 8.5, the proper answer. No way the Eagles keep it within 8.5. Just none. Zero chance.
I actually think the Eagles are... I think the Eagles are a little sneaky for this reason. A little sneaky. A lot of teams don't know who or what they are. Even that are in the playoffs, they don't know who or what they are. I think Philadelphia knows what they are. They're going to run the ball. Jalen Hurts is going to do some crazy things. If you want to talk about a team that's going to pull out some trick plays and try to catch you off balance, it's going to be Philadelphia going up against the Super Bowl champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I think Philly's going to be pesky. I don't think they're winning the game. I think they're going to be pesky. I think they're going to be – you got to think there's always going to be one or two surprises this postseason. And I think Philadelphia just kind of hanging around and making it more interesting than you think. And Brady kind of has to go on a drive to put that one away at the very end. Maybe they cover, but you sweating it with 4 minutes to go. You sweating it with four to go.
I just can't trust rock, paper, scissors to coach in the playoffs. Just can't trust him.
I can't hate on that.
Our final question here as we go around the Super Wild Card Weekend. Carrington, whether it's a player or the coach, what person has the most pressure on them this weekend to achieve excellence in the NFL playoffs?
Well, I think it's a tie between two people. I think it's a tie between Dak Prescott and Matthew Stafford. I mean, Matthew Stafford was brought to Los Angeles for moments like this. The Rams have given him everything you can ask for in the world. You got arguably the best receiver in the National Football League in Cooper Kupp. Odell Beckham, who's playing some of the best football we've seen from him in 4 years. You got a top defense. You got an offensive-minded coach. You're at home in a playoff game playing a team you've seen two other times this year. This is the best chance Matthew Stafford's ever had to do something meaningful in the National Football League. The last Matthew Stafford memory was dislocating his shoulder with the Detroit Lions. It feels like a decade ago. He's got a chance to really do things you remember him by if you do this. You know what I can't wait for? You know what I really can't wait for? I'm going to throw this out there in the atmosphere. I can't wait for the Rams to make a run and then the inevitable argument of, well, is Matthew Stafford a Hall of Famer? Because the numbers are going to be there, and if he has some postseason success, oh, it will really heat up.
I mean, he will be. He will be a Hall of Famer.
No, he will not be.
Is Matt Ryan a Hall of Famer?
I think Matt Ryan's different because Matt Ryan won MVP.
That's fair.
Like, Matt Ryan has, like, accolades and things that he's, like, accomplished in his career. Like, I don't think Stafford has any chance of getting to the Hall of Fame. But I think what it is right now, I think if Stafford, like, wins a Super Bowl or something, you're like, hey, he's got the one ring and all of those things. It will be very hard to keep him out. Even though at no point in his career have we ever felt that way about Matthew Stafford. I know we're getting way ahead of ourselves here, but I'm just going to go ahead and throw that out there. So 2 weeks from now when the Rams are in the NFC Championship game and this is being talked about, you guys are like, oh, Carrington said that first on the drive. And I'm like, yeah, I told you guys. You guys don't think I ever get anything right. I get things right all the time, actually. I'm shooting an incredible percentage this year. You guys just focus on the misses. That's what happens, Rob. They only focus on the misses. They don't focus on the makes. I'm shooting like 91% from the field with NFL predictions this year.
I mean, I want to agree with you because we do focus on the misses, but you went out of your way to do a segment on Monday about my misses, so I'm not with you. Okay, Charger well. Dot. I'm not standing next to you.
No, see, that wasn't necessary.
We did a segment on Monday.
We're the same team here.
You called me out for the Melvin Ingram and Nick Bolton to call. I'm not going to stand by that.
The same team. All I got to do is mention Josh Gordon. Your brain will melt. That's all I got to do. I just say Josh Gordon. You just get angry for no reason. Josh Gordon ain't done nothing to nobody. You just get so mad when his name comes up. Hey, Rob, do you think there's a chance that Josh Gordon has 6 yards? No chance. Why are you so angry about it? You don't think he can maybe have 6 yards in this game? No, because he's a bum and he stinks. Okay, all right, Rob. My bad. I didn't mean to ask you a question. I didn't mean to talk sports with you on our sports talk show. I apologize. I hope Daryl Williams runs for 250 yards and then for you to come on here and say that running backs matter. That's what I'm really rooting for. That's what I'm really rooting for. I really want Daryl Williams to run for 250 yards and then you to come on here and say, man, a running back's the number one reason the Chiefs won a playoff game. You might take off work on Monday. You just won't be here. Coming up on the other side, we'll be joined by Charlie Batch, former backup quarterback to Ben Roethlisberger. Also does pre and post for the Pittsburgh Steelers. We'll catch up with Charlie Batch next. Stick around. It's The Drive.
The Drive. 610 Sports Radio.
It was a dynamite traffic report. Just driving in circles. What do I do? I don't know. I only get my traffic information from this radio station. What do I do? Two things before we're joined by Charlie Batch. They will be very quick. Some of you know, so we're 610 Sports Radio. There's a radio station in Houston called Sports Radio 610. I would just randomly get called an idiot for things that they said. Like, I get called an idiot enough for things that I say on this show. I don't want to be called an idiot for something they're talking about on their show. And there's a lot of dumb things that are happening down there in Houston. Don't throw me in the middle of that. The second thing is, Rob, I need your official ruling. Can we block this person? Hey, guys, I have a gut feeling that Josh Gordon is going to have like 9 postseason touchdowns this year. I mean, come on now.
You know my feelings.
I mean, if that's the kind of stuff that you're sending here, you might have just lost the privilege of the text line. 9? Okay. All right. Fella.
I'm just trying to keep my cool. It's a Josh Gordon take, and I'm staying calm, relaxed, and saying it's a bad take.
No, you're just going to start yelling for no reason. You just hate Josh Gordon. He hasn't done anything to you or anybody. Let's go to the phone line right now to be joined by our next guest. He is a 2-time Super Bowl champion. He played for the Pittsburgh Steelers from 2002 to 2012. He went to Eastern Michigan. We're very happy to be joined right now by Charlie Batch. Charlie, how's it going, man?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I'm doing pretty good. Now, our pregame and postgame host for the station, he wants me to ask you about you offering up $1 million for quarterbacks. I'm just wondering, is there a chance that you would offer me $1 million to go to whatever school you want me to play quarterback? Because I'm happy to do it.
Hey, if you're going to Eastern Michigan, hey, we can have that conversation.
All right. I don't know if I'm a 5-star caliber, but I think I'm like a sneaky 3-star that, like, with your coaching, I could maybe get to like a high 4.
Hey, I mean, if it's in your mind, you are what you are. I mean, don't let anybody put a label on you and say you're a 3-star. If you think you're a 5-star, you got to go out there and convince everybody.
Okay. All right. See, I like your ability. I like that you believe in my athletic ability. Now, I, you know, if you guys got Caleb Williams to come to Eastern Michigan, I will help donate to that fund because it will be the biggest story in college football in the last like 15 years. So I'm certainly hoping that's the decision that he makes. Right now, we're joined by Charlie Batch joining us on the show today. Let's just start with this. What have the last 3 weeks been like for you guys just covering the Steelers? Because not many quarterbacks sort of have that send off. It didn't get that. Favre didn't get it. Montana didn't get it. You typically don't get to say goodbye to your home fans in the way that Ben Roethlisberger did, but then you kept playing and they also made the playoffs. What have the last 3 weeks or so been like for the Steelers?
Well, 99% of the players don't get to go off the way that they hope to go off. So, you know, it was pretty cool to see the fans, you know, send off then for that final home game. And it was a packed house during that time. And it was very emotional for everybody involved because 18 years, man, he's done so much around here in Pittsburgh and deserved that, you know, that send off in the manner that he got. But I think overall in the last 3 weeks, it's been tough because, you know, in my mind going into it, and I was stating it publicly, I said, listen, in order for the Steelers to make the playoffs, they're going to have to win their last 4-4, and that included the Kansas City game. Obviously, they got thumped down there, and then the way that everything unfolded, having to beat the Browns, having to beat the Ravens in those final 2 weeks and needing these other things to happen, it was only about less than 10% chance of that happening. So there were a lot of people in Pittsburgh really thinking that our season was over. after that Baltimore game, but lo and behold, Tennessee was able to, the Colts were knocked off out of Jacksonville, and it changed the whole dynamics of what everything was talking about heading into that Sunday night game. So it's been a whirlwind over the last 3 weeks, that's for sure.
You know Ben Roethlisberger as well as anybody. You played behind him. I'm sure he's a friend of yours. How much do you think he has left in the tank? Because on one side, they had 7 game-winning drives at the end of the game. So Big Ben, if he still really needs to, can kind of dial back and make a couple of plays. And I would say every game, he makes 1 or 2 throws. I'm like, that reminds me of the Ben Roethlisberger of old. And then sometimes he just looks like old Ben Roethlisberger. How much do you think he has left in the tank?
Yeah, he still has a lot left in the tank. A lot of it just comes down to how his body is recovering. Now, the cool part is Mike Tomlin, over the last probably 8 or 9 years, have always given him that veteran Wednesday off to try to keep him fresh and make sure he's fresh towards the end of the season. So that's worked to his benefit there. But I think ultimately kind of what you're seeing, you know, yes, he can make the throws. Unfortunately, in Matt Canada's offense, you don't see those particular throws because it's a completely different offense of what you've seen in the past. So that's why you hear a lot of people saying that he can't make those throws. But if you put him in a 2-minute situation in the manner he's done an entire career, he's third all time in 4-quarter comebacks, you see him continuously doing that. And those are things that are very impressive. And that's why that's why they're in the playoffs in that manner. And that's why ultimately, you know, it's important for them to keep this game close on Sunday, giving them a chance in the 4th quarter, because that's when Ben is at his best.
Right now we're talking to Charlie Batch, former quarterback in the National Football League, played for the Steelers from 2002 to 2012. You follow the team very closely. What's the status of the offensive line? Because I think from the outside looking in, a lot of people blame some of the offensive problems that the Steelers have had this year on their offensive line. Najee Harris only averaging 3.9 yards per carry. The issues that we're talking about a little bit with Ben Roethlisberger. Where is that O-line at today?
Yeah, I think right now, I mean, it's still a work in progress, which is crazy after 18 weeks. Najee Harris, he went over 1,000 yards. Great for him, knowing that the Steelers were at the bottom of the league in rushing. A lot of the issues all came about early on in the year because Zach Banner was a projected left tackle. He was injured in training camp. It created a whole shuffle of that offensive line. There were multiple people up front, so there was not a consistent group that was lining up week after week. And then when you look at where they are now over the last few weeks, Kendrick Green, the starting center that was there, he went out with the injury. Jason Ostenhauer, he had to fill in. And all of a sudden, Adrian Clem, the offensive line coach, he leaves. You have a replacement coming in. And it seems like now that they are starting to kind of gel in that manner. So it's cool from that particular perspective, but they know there's not a lot of depth behind what they currently have right now. So it's very important for the projected 5 that are starting in this particular playoff game that they remain healthy. Because if they are, then, you know, that allows Ben Roethlisberger to stay upright.
I love Najee Harris coming out of Alabama. Still very high on his ability. We're talking about the offensive line. I think that's led to some of the issues that we've seen with Najee Harris this year. I saw that he was battling some injuries. I read a story earlier today. He got a shot in his elbow, which sounds like an incredibly painful thing to have to endure. What's his status for Sunday night?
Yeah, that was an ugly injury, and that happened on really the first, second, or third down play of the game for Najee, and he missed the majority of the first half, came back middle of the second half, and nobody expected him to come back, but a lot of it was really whether he was able to wear a knee elbow sleeve on that particular arm, but he couldn't bend it, and those were things that he was having issue with. They ended up kind of doing a tape job. He was able to enter back into that game. Now this week, Mike Tomlin has allowed him the opportunity to rest. He is listening to his comments. He fully expects to play. But if I'm Kansas City on the other side, yeah, you're definitely going to test that elbow to see if he's able to protect the football. And that's something I'm going to be paying attention to earlier in the game.
We've been having this conversation in Kansas City. How many points do you think Pittsburgh's offense can score? So not talking about defensive touchdowns, special teams touchdowns. How many points do you think Pittsburgh's offense can score on Sunday?
I'm going with the average on what they've done the entire year, probably less than 20. So there's no way that they can afford to get into a shootout in this particular game because they just don't have the firepower to do so. They've really struggled in the first half. That really has gotten them horrible situations as it relates to the leads that they had to overcome. And this is going to be something that Matt Canada has to fix. And it's been an issue throughout the entire year that they struggled to score in the first half. And also, struggling to score in the first half and yet to utilize the middle of the field. So, of course, if you're Kansas City, you're going to say, okay, if we can get on top of them early, defend that the outside and where the Steelers try to take advantage of it. We know they don't throw inside. So it's going to be really interesting to see how the Steelers now recoup the second time around. And it's going to be interesting to see if one of these two receivers outside of Deontay Johnson, can step up and make a play down the field.
Because Mitch Holtz's voice of the Chiefs, he came on the show with us on Monday and said that Kansas City is 49-3 in which games in which they keep their opponent under 30 points, that sometimes breaking these games down is really simple and we make them more complicated than it needs to be. That do you think Team A can score? And at least with Pittsburgh, I got respect for T.J. Watt. I got respect for Cam Hayward. They got a lot of great pieces on defense. I love Minka Fitzpatrick. He's one of my favorite players to watch in the National Football League. I just don't know if they on offense can score enough to win this game. So to me, that's what really creates a lot of the any given Sunday scenarios. Well, you got to force turnovers. Well, you got to run a kickback. Well, you got to do those things. Well, then every team loses in that scenario. But what's the most likely outcome? So that's why I think at least here locally and nationally, I think some of the disregard and disrespect from the Steelers come from is I just don't know how many points they can score in a matchup like this.
Well, the Kansas City defense has given up 30 points a game, and the Steelers hit that number. Everybody around Steelers Nation will be excited because they hit that number, and they've rarely hit that number this year. So it's just been frustrating to kind of watch this team unfold because things that we've been accustomed to are no longer happening at this point. So I just don't think that they will win in the shootout if, for whatever reason, they had to score more than 30 points.
Charlie, you've seen a lot of great defensive players in your day. How great is T.J. Watt?
Man, he is unbelievable. I mean, he's a guy that is deserving of every penny that he received on that contract. And everybody around Pittsburgh, you know, knows what he's capable of doing over the last 2 years. Arguably could have been a defensive player of the year, and that's no disrespect to Stephon Gilmore and Aaron Donald. Those two guys are great in their right mind. But where TJ is at, and he had 21.5 sacks this year, missed 2.5 games already, and still to get to that number, that, you know, that you got to put the rest of the nation on notice that this guy is no longer in the shadows of his brother, JJ Watt. He is now creating his own career and has done so over the last 6 or 7 years, man. It's just been 6 years. It's been very impressive to watch him go about his business because this man, he is as humble as can be, and he only wants one thing, and that is to win.
It was funny because we had a guest on earlier this week, and the way he was describing T.J. Watt, one of the texters said, this guy's making T.J. Watt sound like Derek Thomas. And I'm like, I don't think he's Derek Thomas, but he's an all-time great pass rusher in the same vein that Derek Thomas was. When you watch T.J. Watt, who does he remind you of? Is there anybody that kind of pops out to you?
Man, it's kind of tough because he's like a combination of, you know, Joey Porter when he was here, and then also James Harrison. He's not as short a stature as what James is in bulky, but, man, he can actually get low and get around that corner in the manner that James Harrison did. So he was fortunate enough to learn from him his rookie year as James Harrison was here. So I think ultimately, you know, the biggest question for TJ coming into this year was he able to do this without Bud Dupree? Because Bud Dupree has been there for so long, he left free agency to go to the Tennessee Titans. But, man, he continued to dominate in this manner. So it was very important for Alex Highsmith, who stepped into the role of Bud Dupree, to now come into his own and stop that, command those double teams on that side. And he was able to do that throughout the course of the year, so it freed up T.J. Watt. But ultimately, it starts with T.J., and I tell you, the person who's benefiting from all of those two, or both of those two, is Cam Hayward, because now he gets one-on-one in the middle, and you see what he's capable of doing as he's creating disruption up front.
So I had a good friend text me during the break a couple of minutes ago and said that Mike Tomlin is the biggest advantage that Pittsburgh has in this game. I think it's T.J. Watt because he's the second-best defensive player in the league behind Aaron Donald, but I think Tomlin's one of the 5 best coaches in the league. What do you think makes Tomlin so great? Because from the outside looking in, I think this Steelers team is probably like a 6-win or 7-win team with some of their problems offensively. I think Tomlin's great enough to add 1 or 2 wins to it, and that right there is the difference in making or missing the playoffs. What makes Tomlin so great in your mind?
Well, I think he's a great motivator, and I think, you know, depending on what stage you are in your career, he knows how to push your buttons, and it's just always great to see it. I mean, you're in a room, and somebody that has, you know, being able to, you know, spread their message clear, concise, and be able to get their point across, and the players are still buying in. That is special by itself. But you remember this, the Steelers team started out 1-3, and he was able to get those guys to regroup and got them to 500 and ultimately to the playoffs. So I think ultimately when you look at just the respect factor, yes, people are starting to notice, which is crazy after 15 years, of what he's capable of doing. But I think if you ask Mike Tomlin in this particular matchup who has the upper hand, he probably would look at Andy Reid because it's the manner that he's done so throughout his entire career. And I think everybody respects him for what he's doing in Kansas City, but everybody knows what he did in Philadelphia, even though he wasn't able to get him over the hump. But, man, Andy Reid is one person that I'm a huge fan of.
So last thing here, Charlie, and I appreciate your time. These are the things that I think need to happen in order for Pittsburgh to pull off an upset. I think T.J. Watt needs at least 2 sacks. I think Pittsburgh needs to force at least 3 turnovers. I think they need 1 non-offensive touchdown. On Monday, if you're talking about one of the biggest upsets in the history of the league, what needs to happen in order for Pittsburgh to come into Kansas City and win?
Well, I'm going to your third point. It has to be a non-offensive touchdown that happens. And then also to the second point of that, when you talked about the turnovers, it doesn't have to be 3. It has to be at least 2, given the offense of the Steelers, a short field, that they're able to punch it in for a touchdown. I think if those particular situations happen, I think storylines on Monday will be, yes, huge upset in Kansas City, where not many people outside of Steelers Nation thought they even had a chance.
Last thing here, actually, Charlie, I'd lie. I have one more question left. Where would you put Arrowhead in places that you played in your career?
Oh, that is an awesome place. It's one of the loudest stadiums, natural environments that you know is going to be loud. Of course, we know about the fake crowd noise and those type of things in indoor facilities, but, man, they are serious down there in Arrowhead. And I think this is something that, I always enjoyed the fact of going in there. And I just remember telling players who have been there for the first time, number one, it's super loud. Number two, man, I love when they play the national anthem. And everybody at that point says, jeez, at the end of it. It sends a shockwave through your body, when you're hearing that. So it's a special place. People know that. It's obviously a part of history. And it has been the fans in Kansas City, man, they are truly, right now they are getting to that point of understanding and appreciation of what they truly are. Now you see everything kind of evolving with Patrick Mahomes. So it's pretty cool to see. I'm glad they're back at the top.
That is 2-time Super Bowl champion Charlie Batch joining us on the show today. He played from the Steelers from 2002 to 2012, still does work in Pittsburgh. Charlie, really appreciate you coming on today, man. Thank you.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me, fellas.
Absolutely. That's Charlie Batch joining us on the show today. Really good stuff from the former NFL quarterback Charlie Batch joining us on the show today. Coming up at the top of the hour, Nate Taylor will be here with us as we're getting you ready for the postseason and the start of the NFL playoffs. I want to read one text really quickly. Everybody is saying the same crap about this game. Every show I listen to, every TV station. The only way the Steelers win is blank, blank, blank. They aren't that good. They don't have a chance. It seems like every time everyone is saying it's going to go one way, it normally turns out the opposite. Now, this is where I think the responsibility's got to be on you guys, because you and I both know if there was one person that was on the other side of the fence, you'd be calling that person a hot take artist. If one person was picking Pittsburgh to win here locally and telling you how they was going to beat the Chiefs, y'all'd be crushing that individual. So I hear what you're saying. Everybody is saying the same thing about this game. Sometimes everybody is right. It don't happen all the time. You're right. Sometimes everybody is right. Earlier this year, we saw MU play KU. Everybody had the same opinion. Missouri about to get their boots smoked in this game. You want to know what happened? They got their boots smoked. It wasn't a whole lot of money being on the other side of that one because it was obvious what was going to happen. So I agree. I haven't really listened to a lot of other radio shows this week locally. It's been mostly national podcast stuff for me this week, getting ready for the playoffs on a bigger scale. But I don't really know what else you can say about this game if you're just looking at the numbers and looking at these two teams, looking at their numbers, looking at the last time these two teams played each other and the kind of game that I think both sides wants to play. I don't really know what different opinion you can come to unless you're just trying to make it more difficult than it needs to be. Maybe all of us are wrong. That can happen. I can live with being wrong on this game because everybody's going to be wrong. It ain't just going to be me that's going to be wrong. Everybody going to be wrong. Rob, I have a really quick question before we catch up with Nate Taylor. I think the text line is going to be mad at this one, but for a very different reason than maybe what they're mad about the last thing I just said. Maybe they're not. I don't know. Tech 9's performing this weekend, right? He's going to be the
halftime performer.
Halftime performer. We all were just celebrating New Year's, right? Maybe you were at home. Maybe you didn't do anything. Maybe you had a house party. Maybe you went over somebody's house. Maybe you went out somewhere. Are folks listening to Tech N9ne in real life? I think we all love Tech N9ne. Met him a few times. Nice guy. Rod, whenever you're at home, or let's say you go over a friend's house and it's like five of you guys sitting around drinking, and somebody connects to the Bluetooth, are you playing Tech N9ne?
Nope.
I'm just asking. I don't know. I'm just saying I'm not listening to Tech N9ne. Maybe you guys are listening to Tech N9ne. I'm not here hating on them, man. I'm just asking. I'm just saying I've been in a lot of settings where it's like 8 to 10 people, everybody's vibing, you know, some drinks might be in the air, other things might be in the air, everybody's just having a good time. Somebody's like, hey, what's the Bluetooth? Oh, okay, here you go. Where's the speaker? Oh, who's playing the music? Oh, Rob's got the Bluetooth speaker. Hey, Rob, play some tunes. And now you've got the power. The whole night goes off basically what you want to play. Are you playing Tech N9ne?
No. No one plays Tech N9ne like that. But I'll say this. On the rare instances, the outliers, where it does get played, no one's upset. It's not like someone plays it and goes, ew, gross. But no one's seeking it out.
Okay. Someone said, come on, C-Dot. Tech N9ne's a KC legend. I'm not saying he's not a legend. I'm just asking, whenever you vibing with your friends and they hand you the aux cord, you on a road trip with your guys, are you playing Tech N9ne? Are you letting Tech N9ne rock? I'm just asking, because that ain't what's happening with me and my friends. We ain't playing a whole lot of Tech N9ne. Might be a little Future. Might be a little Travis Scott, a little Drake. Maybe you might listen to a little Baby, a little Dirk. I'm just asking. I'm just asking. Someone said, yeah, the other things in the air greatly influence how much tech is being played. I mean, maybe. I'm just asking. Somebody say, yeah, play Rich the Factor. All right, that might be, you know what I mean? It's real Kansas City there. I'm just asking questions, y'all. I don't even got to get mad. I'm just asking. Coming up, we'll catch up with Nate Taylor. He covers the Chiefs for The Athletic. He's one of my favorite people. That's next. It's The Drive.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
What up, y'all? It's your boy, Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host, Harrison Sanford, on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.